out of earshot. Let's show our appreciation to our children. Please be seated. At this time, any other children who would like to go to Sunday school are dismissed. That would be a much better alternative for the children than having to listen to me. So, children are dismissed to join their friends in Sunday school. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we hear your words of the Christmas story again today, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us in a very special way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. We've heard some wonderful Christmas carols already today, but probably the most wonderful recorded in Scripture is the Magnificat of Mary. Let's first look at it in the context of verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then let's go down to the Christmas carol itself, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." How many of you took a picture during the Nativity or the Christmas pageant? Fess up, raise your hands. There were a lot of you, almost as many of you were taking pictures today as we had photographers at a wedding here yesterday. Now, the bride and groom had warned me ahead of time that there would be at least six professional photographers, including two video photographers. So as the ceremony was progressing, I was counting. I counted, you know, four regular photographers because they were all over the place, and one video photographer, but I thought there were two. And then there was this beautiful, beautiful trio. And I was sitting with two other pastors back against the wall there in chairs, and this was all covered up with lectern and things. And all of a sudden, the Christmas tree started to sway. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's an earthquake in Hong Kong. And then emerging from inside the tree was the other video photographer. It was really cool. Now, this couple is going to have their wedding from all sorts of vantage points, but I thought the most interesting angle would be under the Christmas tree. He stayed there for almost the entire wedding. Don't you wish that there had been a photographer as the events of Christmas were unfolding? I mean, we saw a beautiful example with our children, and all of us in our mind's eye have kind of pictures of what it must have been like. Were all these stories just fables, or did something actually happen? Gerd Ludmann, who is an atheist scholar in Germany, who has devoted his life to disproving the divinity of Christ, says, "The tomb was full, but the manger was empty." Trying to declare that all these things that we hold so dear to us didn't really happen. But it's interesting, some very strong historical claims are made for the Christmas story. And today we're going to talk for just a few minutes about the first one, that Jesus was born of a virgin. But before we get theological, please turn to the person next to you and shake their hand and say, "Greetings, good morning." And then say, "God's beauty is in you. You are beautiful inside and out." Come on. God is with you. Did that feel good? That's a more modern translation of what the angel Gabriel told to Mary. Mary was a young adolescent peasant woman, very poor, but very devout, a very pious person who had found favor in God's eyes, but a powerless, penniless, probably 14 or 15-year-old young woman, just going about her daily work. She was engaged, she was betrothed to Joseph, she had some wedding plans, and then all this was interrupted by an angel. The angel Gabriel, and Gabriel means spokesperson for God, man of God. Gabriel says, "I have a special greeting for you." And that was the greeting. Now, that puzzled Mary. Did it puzzle you to be called beautiful inside and out? Especially if it was like your spouse who said that? No. Wouldn't it be nice to have that sort of affirmation every day? To know that you are favored and loved and beloved by God Almighty? Well, guess what? You do have that affirmation. But we live in a society, and some of us in families, where that is kicked out of us. We do not feel ourselves to be loved by anyone, let alone God. And Mary was perplexed and puzzled and confused by this news that was almost too good to be true. That God loved her. God had picked her out. She was precious in God's sight. And then the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Again, 365 times in Scripture, we hear, "Do not be afraid." Is there anyone who's broken that commandment this week? Boy, this is a tough Christmas, isn't it? I'm talking to a whole lot of people, and this week I had the chance to talk to some really top financial people, including the guy who's the chair of the University of Economics at the University of Chicago Economics Department, and he didn't have a lot of really exciting, wonderful things to say. I am a little scared. How about you?
be not afraid?
Well, certainly our situation is much worse than Mary's, right? I don't think so. You see, most of us are not at her low economic status. Most of us have fears. We all have fears. And all of us have to hear the angel say to us what she said to Mary. Do not be afraid. And the message translates this very well, for God is about to surprise you. In the midst of your concern, your anxiety, your fear, are you ready for God to surprise you? Mary was. I wonder if we are. And the angel says, this is a surprise. You are going to have a child. And God is going to be the father. Now, Mary says, excuse me, I am a pure, chaste young woman. I have never been with a man. This is not possible. And then the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. There is going to be a really big surprise. Now, I don't know what you think about the virgin birth. Many of you watch Larry King on CNN. CNN interviewed the interviewer. They asked Larry King, if there was one person in all of human history you would like to interview, who would that person be? And guess who he picked? Jesus Christ. And they said, what question would you like to ask Jesus Christ? And Larry King said, I would ask him if he really was virgin born. Because if he was, that would change all of history for me. And again, I'm not going to get up here and defend the virgin birth other than to say, if God broke through in human history in Jesus Christ, and all things are possible, the virgin birth is certainly possible. And for a whole bunch of theological reasons, I think you have to say, yeah, the virgin birth is really an essential tenet of our faith. I know some of you don't believe it. But I'm limited to what I read in Scripture, and it's very clear that Scripture makes this claim that God did a miracle in this birth. And Mary, unlike, remember when John the Baptist was foretold, angel Gabriel, Zechariah said, show me a sign, prove it. This time, when angel Gabriel gave the message, the response was, I am your servant. Do with me as you please. She had the courage to obey. And let me read the song that she sang after agreeing. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior King. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength. He scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham, and right now, up to now. Mary realized something that we need to realize, and that we are infinitely precious in God's eyes. As I saw all these children come forward, I'm very glad I've chosen to end with a passage from a book by Rick Riley, who's a sports writer. somebody gave me an early Christmas present. They gave me a book of his columns, and as I was reading about my favorite sports teams, I came across a column about adopting a young Korean girl. Now, he and his wife were so thrilled with this Korean child, but as Ray, their child, grew older, she said, and I quote, "I want to meet somebody I'm related to," and we went looking. After 11 years and 6,000 miles, we still hadn't met our daughter's mother. We had only come this close, staked out in a van across from a tiny Seoul coffee shop, the mother inside with a Korean interpreter, afraid to come out, afraid of being discovered, afraid to meet her own flesh. So that's the setting of the story. The interpreter is pleading with the birth mother to come out and meet her child. And finally, she agrees to meet. And Ray has 20 questions for her mother, 20 questions that she's been saving up. And as she starts through these questions, the mother was ice cold. And then this happens. "Why did you give me away?" All heads turned to the woman. The interpreter answered, "Too young, only 19 then, no money, great shame. Who is my birth dad? No idea." How would she handle such iciness from the woman who she had dreamed of, fantasized about, held on to? Finally, this one, "When I was born, did you get to hold me?" The woman's lips parted in a small gasp. She swallowed and stared at the grass. "No, they took you from me." And that's when our caseworker, Kim, said, "Well, now you can hold her." That did it. That broke her. She lurched, tears running down her cheeks, reached for Ray and pulled her close, holding her as if they might take her away again. "I told myself I wouldn't cry," she said. The interpreter wept. Linda wept. I wept. Right then, right that minute, the heavens opened up, and it poured a monsoon starter kit on us, an all-out Noah. Yea, even the sky wept. Any sane group of people would have run for the fan, but none of us wanted the moment to end. We had finally got her, and we would float to Busan before we would give her up. We were all crying and laughing and trying to fit all of us under the birth mother's tiny pink umbrella. But the rain was so loud you couldn't talk. We ran for the van and sat in there, Ray holding her half-sister and her birth mother, holding the daughter she must have thought she would never see. Time was so short. Little sentences contained whole lifetimes. She thanked us for raising her baby. "You are a very good family," she said, eyeing the giants around her. "Very strong and good." "And how do you thank someone for giving you her daughter?" Linda said, "Thank you for the gift you gave us." The birth mother smiled bittersweetly. She held Ray with one arm and the book and the locket tight with the other. Then it was all over. She said she had to get back. She asked the driver to pull over so she could get out. We drove off and watched her shrink away from us, dropped off on the corner of nowhere and forever. I think I was still crying when I looked at Ray. She was beaming. Which must be how you feel when a hole in your heart finally gets filled. God has a hole in his heart that only you can fill. We don't believe that. We don't think we're that special. Oh, we may posture, but down deep, we really wonder, does God love us? And Barry discovered that day the answer is a resounding yes. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Turn to the person next to you. Say, greetings, good morning. You are beautiful inside and out. God's beauty is in you. God is with you. Do you really believe that? If you do, let's go out and with Mary magnify the Lord, not ourselves, but the Lord who loves us so much that he came for us in human form. Let's stand and worship him.